Welcome back to the Our Time Podcast, the podcast for Watch Geeks by Watch Geeks. I'm John Biggs.
And I'm Nicholas De Leon.
And Victor, he was unable to make it today. He's out mining molybdenum for his new watch line that he's making called called the Marx Brothers watches.
I think he said that in Slack.
Something like that.
Don't pay too close attention.
I'm excited. He wants to make a watch. So I don't know the details, but he's like working with groups in Switzerland.
Yes.
And for my money, like, does the world need another micro brand?
Well, the other thing I will say to that is I think it was either Hodinkee or Fratello. Someone the other day said, like, let's stop using the word micro brand. It's like diminishing, or it's like mean.
That's not mean. That's stupid.
This is just a word to describe small. I mean, I don't care.
Yeah.
But does the world need another one of those? I mean, why not? I mean, let's party to the lights go off type of situation.
Well, it's like,
so more water to drink.
So let's equate it to something else. Like I can see, there's audio gear, right? So we got so much audio gear out there. It's all out there just floating around. I have in front of me right now, I have a pretty nice audio input device. I have a shit Asgard 2 speaker amp.
Okay.
That I use.
I have some of their stuff.
And I have a tube amp for my headphones. And each one of these things is $300, $400. You can get up into like Macintosh. Yeah. I went to the Macintosh factory and I saw stuff for $10,000. Then you can get stuff for $50. You can get stuff you can go online and get stuff for $10. There are so many of these brands associated with this audio stuff, and it's very similar to watches, except that watches are mechanical, they're a little harder to bake. So I can be some Chinese factory and I can blast out fairly easily a tube amp.
Yeah.
But do I need another tube amp? Am I ever going to replace this tube amp? I don't think I will, but what I'm trying to say is that the idea of a watch is far more fast moving. Right. So I want a different watch every couple months versus I'm never going to buy another tube amp.
I see. Yeah. Then to Victor, you know, to the micro brands' point of existing, it's like if you want a new one every so often, then yeah, there's probably a demand for new brands and new whatever.
But for example,
all the time, then
I'm looking at a tube amp I'm looking at a headphone amp that works pretty well. It's okay. It's acceptable. But it's the equivalent of if I got this amp in front of me and then I got a different tube amp that has a similar sound profile.
Yeah.
Like the watches that I'm looking at, I have three watches in front of me that are just fairly standard three-handers. I'm going to be nice about them because it's like somebody made them and it's cool. But does the world need another one?
I don't know. I think as we all get older, we start asking questions of what did I do on this? What did I do? I think about that all the time, especially as I get. I was listening to you. Remember, kids, we're going on an adventure here. John and I used to work together many, many years ago. For many, many years, we worked together. Do you remember the show, John, that I was obsessed with on the radio called Ron and Fez?
Yeah, Ron and Fez.
The name, I would talk about it in the Slack or whatever it was, and it was just like, you know, like a Howard Stern type show. They would interview movie directors and artists, and they would talk about the news, and they'd go over just a general talk show.
Yeah.
But associated with that show was like a bunch of different message boards that were all like in constant conflict with one another. This board didn't like that board. That board said, "You stink." The other board said, "No, you stink." So there was just constant drama. Fair enough. Last week, the show held a memorial party situation for Fez, who had passed a little while ago, just a celebration of Fez's life, basically. So on a recent episode, one of the guys from those message boards called in and he was like, you know, it was so nice to see everyone. I can't believe I spent all that time on the message boards fighting you guys. You guys are great. And it's like that really, I think about this a lot as like how we spend our time and like, what do we want to do? Like, we don't have a ton of time, to be honest. It's like, do you want to be 60 and be like, man, when I was 40, I was on these message boards arguing with these people over nothing, basically, when you could have used that time to do anything else. You could have taken your wife to dinner. You could have taken your kids to Disney, but no, you were on a message board fighting about nonsense in your little den. Like, yeah. What are we doing? So that's like a real, I think okay. about that a lot. Actually.
Well, we're getting to an interesting point here. So what you're suggesting is what is the purpose of existence? And for us yes. to talk about that on a watch podcast is both bold and foolhardy. Yet let's go down this route. Now the human mind has the capability of holding a few ideas in its head at a time. And the vast majority of the time, we don't want to have to hold a lot of stuff in our heads because it's just a pain in the ass. It's just like it's not comfortable. What the message board gives you is the ability first off, it gives you a small amount of dopamine. And the same thing goes for any of these hobbies. So if I'm looking at, I look at these little amps and things, and I'm like, oh, it might be fun to look for another amp that might be better yes. than this one. Or I have my vinyl in front of me, or I got these four watches that came into the mail or whatever that I need to look at. That hit of dopamine is all we really get. We don't get to go run around in the woods and like take down a deer with our teeth.
Not often, no.
so the only thing that we get to do in our lives is collect interesting items and have a story to tell about them. We associate these stories that we build and the message board is a story as well. The idea of a message board
sure.
where you're sitting and you're talking to all these weirdos about like Fez or whatever. And
yes.
you feel it makes you feel good because you have friends, you have people that you can talk to.
That's it. You said it right there. It's friends, and you know you collect these watches to tell a story, but to tell to other friends, it's to people, it's to share. It's not just to like hoard them like your Lord of the Rings monster. It's
yeah.
just like look at it alone. It's to share it with other people. There was a I guess Harvard has a like an 80-year-old, and this was in the news the past couple of weeks. Some like happiness study, basically, mm-hmm. where they basically ask people like, "What makes you happy?" And like the grand conclusion, 80 years into this, it is literally just like friendships and like connections with other people. It's like you could have $1 billion, whatever the case. Like unless you're like surrounded by like people who like make you laugh, or like your wife or your boy, like unless there's like other humans around to like share and enjoy with. It doesn't end well, and it's not. I remember I read a bunch of books to this effect a few years ago when I was fairly sad, and some researchers like 100 years ago, they went around and they wrote letters to like Andrew Carnegie and like guys
yeah,
like that,
yeah,
like,
yeah, you know, there's
successful
always that
guys,
kind of thing,
yeah, and it's like oh what's worth it, and like they all replied like yeah it's my friends, it's my family, you know, yeah I own like all of the East Coast, but if I didn't go bowling with my friends on Sunday, it would be pointless. So that is, you know, and I think watches are, you know, everyone kind of like gravitates to their thing, whether you like sports and hang out with your bros, you like watches. Last week, I just brought up that I had moved to Arizona. I'm down in Tucson. And I found there's a Red Bar in Phoenix, and they've already invited me to come and hang next month. So that's great. I don't really know anyone here. I mean, I literally don't know anyone here. Which yeah. is kind of weird. But now, you know, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to hang out with some watch bros in Phoenix, and those guys are going to be part of my friend group. So that's like, I'm not just collecting Say Stern watches or like another Seiko, like I need another Seiko, but now I can show it off to the guys up there. So
I guess that, okay. So that, I like that view. And I think that the fandom, so I wonder what the impetus for us is, for example. I think like, we're content creators, and we've been content creators
yes,
for
too long,
for way
entirely
too long,
entirely too long,
entirely too long. And like our opinions don't matter. This podcast is a blip in the universe of especially
sure.
of watch media. We're complete junk. And Wristwatch Review, for all intents and purposes, is also complete junk. But whatever.
Well, this is a small universe anyway. Watch.
Yeah, it's a small. But there's guys who monetized it. And if I'm defining for myself. And this is literally the worst podcast anybody could ever listen to. If you want to, you could fast forward the last 5 minutes, and then we'll talk about the Boba Fett watch. But I like this idea. I like this discussion because I think it's important. So my view on creating Wristwatch Review, I created Wristwatch Review because the way I think, the way I create, is that I need to write about something to understand it more clearly. And I started writing about, I think I wrote distinctly, I remember I wrote about a Panerai, knockoff Panerai back in 2004 or something like that. And somebody yelled at me because I did it. And I'm like, why did they yell at me? I tried to explore that. And now, and I've become like, I'm just the watch dude, but I'm not as entrenched, nor am I as marketing-y as everybody else.
That's like the evolution of the internet. And we're actually, maybe we should just pivot into like a media studies, because we've been around this stupid business for long enough to like know, to recognize trajectories and where it's been, where it's going. Apparently it was way less hypey, way less marketing-y when I was getting started in 2005, 2006.
The only thing we were fighting against magazines, which came out once a month and were sort of like all encompassing and omnipotent. And we were also fighting against forums. And I distinctly remember I wasn't a forum guy. Never liked to be a forum guy.
Really? Okay. Interesting.
Because there were lots of guys, there were lots of folks, actually people like made their entire careers in journalism based on looking at forums. So like Gurman and those guys would always like hop in a forum or whatever, or they'd like talk to somebody at Apple secretly, and they created a friend network. We created, for example, and very specifically, and this is inside baseball again, we created very specifically a system that we became arbiters of information, and we received that information through PR people, through tips, through whatever else.
Yeah.
But it was sort of a one-way trip, and that's what we're kind of recreating now with Wrist Watch Review. We're also doing this with the broadcast. We should do a call-in show if we were egalitarian, but we're not egalitarian. We're in a different mindset.
I wonder if it is and you're a Gen X guy. I feel like I identify with Gen X actually a lot, just given my childhood and kind of how I grew up. And there was, who's the guy, Bret Easton Ellis? He's like the famous, I don't know him from a hole in the wall, frankly, but I guess he's got a new book. And I read an interview, I don't know, a couple of days ago, and he was like in defense of Gen X, where it's like, you know, we were tough skinned, you know, we kind of had to like raise ourselves a little bit. You know, kids today, they're so sensitive, which is whatever. You know, you can't hate on how
We were sensitive too. Compared to some old grumpus like grandpa from came up on Omaha Beach at first,
sure.
And then dad, who basically gave up his enjoyable like kind of hippie lifestyle to go work for the government in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah, he sold out.
Yeah, and we had it easy. Very least, we had Star Wars in 1978.
I only bring that up to say, in terms of media, I think the Gen X guys have a different perspective than some of, you know, the millennials, where like everything's marketing. It's even worse with Zoomers, where it's like everything's branding, everything's like collabs. That's not a Gen X attitude. So if you're a Gen X guy trying to run like a media company, which you are, it your like maybe not core values, but like your sort of thought processes are a little bit different than like what a millennial or a Gen Z media guy would be trying to run a watch site, let's say, for example. The millennial guy would be like, well, let's sell watches. Let's co-brand watches. Let's have a Watchamania.
In my heart, there's no way I can sell watches. I can't sell watches and write about watches. I've actually tried, and I don't want to. I don't want to market them.
Yes.
Now,
so it's a difference for sure.
So this all goes back to the idea of, are there too many micro brands? We got to bring this back to the original idea. And the original idea, and that idea is, does the creation of each micro brand improve the experience for everybody in the same way that like do we need more stuff out there? And to a degree it does, because every little blip on the watch news radar makes everybody a little bit more excited, and then you get a little bit of a story that you can tell about your whatever, your cheesy watch or whatever they just bought, your Seiko or your Z-Stern or Z-Stein or whatever the hell it was called.
Yeah.
And then from that you gain your friends. Have I gained any friends via watches? I guess.
Maybe you must have.
I don't think so.
The watch WhatsApp thing you're in?
Yeah, I guess those are cool guys.
I mean, it would have, I guess we'll see what the Red Bar folks are like, but Yeah, I don't know. It's a good other hobbies for sure. Soccer, I definitely you usually meet folks through. I'm big into cycling as well. I'm going to like a little get together this weekend with some folks. So maybe I'll be. So yeah. Oh yes. Ooh, indeed. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. But yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm pro more cool stuff to talk about and to share and to, and if you know, Victor wants to make these things, maybe that's, I want to make it. I want to cross that off my list. Yeah.
I think we got an answer. So the answer is the creation of new watches, micro brands are a net good.
Oh, 100%. Yes. Yeah.
100%. I think that's interesting. Very frank. Okay. We answered it. We answered it. That was all we had to say.
But so, there you go. We just had a 15-minute discussion to answer it.
Even like the Ron and Fez stuff that you're talking about where everybody hates each other and they're cursing each other out.
Yeah.
Now, was that or not good? I don't know, because I would argue that that sort of online world created the current online world that exists as it stands now, which created like the trolling and all this other crap. But I don't know if that's a net good, but at the very least, it created an environment where people who may have had trouble talking to real people, and I think we're all in that
I would spectrum. Put myself in that bucket, or at least. Yes, for sure. So historically, yes, that's true.
It was far more fun. It was far more fun to get onto a chat room and, like, I don't know, curse out the other Ron and Fez board and run raids and stuff than it was to go down to the, I don't know.
To the local,
yeah, whatever, I, yeah.
I don't know. Like snooker.
Go to church, right?
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. Yeah.
Yeah. You're like 15 years old. What did you used to do? You used to go to like the church group for teens and go on to ropes courses, I guess, and all this other weird stuff. Or like, I don't know, go be in a swim team, I guess.
Stuff like that. Yeah.
We replaced that with groups that gave us a social outlet, but we're mediated by the glass screen in front of us.
Yeah. And part of it is to slight there. Yeah. I definitely obviously grew up in front of a computer, grew up in various message boards. I was never like a troll. I definitely never was mean to anyone, but I had no problem like being a part of like seeing that and witnessing that. But then there are people who like don't like to treat it with like a sense of irony. Oh, this is, we're just like horsing around and none of this is serious. But not everyone is, like yesterday I was at a store and I made like a very New York joke. I was at REI buying some hiking boots and I made a very New York joke and the girl looked at me like I said something wrong. And I was like, it was just a joke. I don't know. It was something like, oh yeah, I'm from New York. I'm used to like the 7 train and shootings or something like that. And she's like, oh, well, we have cactuses here. I was like, lady, why don't you chill? I'll buy shoes. This is not a real.
Well, like they're closer to the shootings than New Yorkers are, right? We get a shooting every couple of days, but it's not like right in front of us.
I don't read the New York Post.
Well, we don't get a mass shooting. They get solid.
The point is.
Yeah, anyway.
But yeah, I don't know. I think friends are good. And one thing I am noticing is a slight, there've been a lot of articles, including in my own publication, Consumer Reports, about like how to like tame your tech addiction and how to like claw back notifications and how to like use Do Not Disturb and just like how to like use this stuff so that you're not just getting constant like ads for like Domino's Pizza or like, oh, someone liked your Instagram. It's like you don't need that nonstop barrage of like interruptions, like destroying your ability to think, and just like how to like use this stuff more thoughtfully and more purposefully so that they actually do enhance your life. That feels to be like the new thing now. That's the cool, what the cool kids are writing about is like how to use this more thoughtfully rather than.
And then
than
guess
just,
what? We go back to watches and the idea of a watch being a product that is so distant and disparate from the concept of being online, it's a calming sort of totem for us.
It totally is. No, it totally is.
All right. Well, that was.
This is why you come here. You're not going to get this on.
You're not going to get there's no
such and such radio.
Yeah, Hodinkee's not going to
watch site. What?
I think he's not going to give you a
Seiko radio. They're not talking about this.
This is there's no what's the watch gentry, the chuffmeister, who are these guys?
Yeah, like those, I mean, those guys are cool. I don't watch as much stuff. That's one thing I'm trying to do in the past, like, let's call it 6 months, is just consume less stuff and do more. Like, I think you can only watch so many like NVIDIA graphics card benchmark videos before you're like, all right, I don't need to see 10 of these. I could watch one and I'm good. You know, how many reviews of, you know, the new Seiko, whatever the heck? I don't know, one or two. I don't need to watch every single one, which is where I was, you know, a few months ago, to be honest.
Yeah, that's addicting. Anyway, let's talk about
there
a
watch. There
was
some watch stuff. We can end the show on some watch news.
Did you see the Boba Fett watch?
I did, yes.
Now, what do we think about the Boba Fett watch? So first off, sir, do we care enough about Boba Fett to like be like have an opinion either way?
I don't personally, but I will say my brother is basically a Star Wars scholar, so he might actually care about this. I'll try to get his opinion in time for the show notes, perhaps. But I do not care one whiff about Star Wars.
Right? So this was made by Cross Studio, and it's basically it has Boba Fett's ship, which we're not supposed to say the name of.
I don't even know the name.
It's Slave One. You're not supposed to say the name.
Really?
Slave One. Yeah. So the thing is now,
it's
no
news to me.
Thanks to Disney, you're not allowed to say the name. Because it's evocative.
Well, yeah.
It's evocative of slavery. So we're insulting the.
I had no idea. I literally had no idea. And I will forget as soon as we hit the tab X on the tab button.
Okay. So, and then it's got a little backpack and it's got a little rocket. The minute's hand is a rocket and the hour hand is the little backpack. And the styling is pretty like, is very, very Boba Fett-y. It's got green and yellow. It's got a,
yeah, that's fine.
And I don't, and it comes with a holding cabinet or whatever, like a watch box that looks just like,
yeah, watch.
Just looks like the original from Empire Strikes Back, the actual ship. And instead of a winding crown, it doesn't have a winding crown. It actually has a little piece on the back lifts up and you wind it that way and you set it that way.
Oh, that's, I guess, interesting. Who is, I'm going to assume, cause it's a tourbillon, it's not exactly super cheap.
Let me try to find that Boba Fett.
I'm like, who is this? I don't know. Are there a lot of like Wall Street guys who are hyper into Star Wars? I mean, maybe.
I don't know.
Tech bros. Actually, there are probably a lot of tech guys into
Star Wars. I don't know who this is for. So it's, is it a tourbillon?
As a thing, it's neat. I'm just always curious. I had this conversation with my editor this morning on, like, you know, running magazines and audience. Like if you run, you know, I don't know, Major League Baseball magazine, you should probably write about baseball.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're making this watch, this Boba Fett watch.
Okay. Well, guess how much it costs. There's only 10 examples of this. So how much does it cost?
$20,000.
$20,000. Add $100,000 to that number.
What the See, that's, I mean.
Now, is this a general, is this a natural good in the universe? Is the creation of this watch a good in the universe?
Yeah.
Now,
I don't know. I'd have to talk to the guys who makes this.
Cross Studio.
I'd have to speak to them before I.
They also made a Death Star watch. They made a couple. Now this is $120,000.
I mean, it's neat, sure. But again, I was in Target. I feel like I go to Target every other day at this point. They have like neat watches too at Target. And they sell them next to like the belts and like the undershirts. And they're like $30 a pop, you know?
It's a very, very difficult question because, I mean, can we as human beings allow this thing to exist when other people are going hungry?
Yeah, no, that's a fair question. The world is a crazy place and folks are selling watches
deeply
for
unfair.
$100,000.
Yeah. So there's a dude out there who's wearing a Boba Fett watch because he's totally into it and he made $1 million off the backs of the proletariat.
Based on a show for children.
Based
Star
on a
Wars.
Show for children. Now we're going.
But it was. Wasn't Star Wars? I mean, wasn't George? It was like a kid's.
It's a kid's.
It wasn't supposed to be for 40-year-old men to get very passionate about.
It was 100% a kid's thing. I remember when it came out. It was like a kid's movie. Point. Nobody else was.
It's a kid's thing.
Yeah. So I refuse to allow this to existence in the universe. Let it just be. And I can't support it by any stretch of the imagination. It seems abhorrent for them to do that. But you know what? God bless them.
That's fair. Yeah.
How's your GMT? Have you found any good GMTs?
I haven't looked. I did walk by a watch store yesterday at the mall. They were closed. I was there a little bit late. But I before moving here, I had zero desire for a GMT. I'm like, I don't need to know other time zones. It's not relevant to my life. Why do I need this? Now I am doing time zone math, as I said in Slack the other day. It's pretty annoying because I am now in Arizona has its own time zone. Like it's not even west. It's not even Pacific Coast. It like switches partly through the year because we don't observe daylight savings time in the free state of Arizona.
Of course.
But everyone else that I work with is in New York. So they're in East Coast. So I'm like, oh, there's a meeting at 10 a.m. Eastern. That is that 12? Oh no, that's 8. So I'm constantly like confused about like when I need to be doing stuff. Which is not a feeling I've ever had to deal with because I've always been based in the same time zone as where I've worked, which is New York City, the wonderful city of New York.
I'm gonna recommend. I have a recommendation. There's the Dune, right. The C-65 Christopher Ward Dune. Christopher Ward's a solid company. I like
them. Yes, I've and, yes yes.
And they have a new GMT Dune collection, which is perfect for you because you're in a
I am in the
state,
desert. Yeah,
and it's $1,100. For a Swiss made GMT.
That's fair. That's fair.
Acceptable.
Oh, I like it.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Acceptable quality. There's also the Shinola, but I won't allow you to. No, where's the Shinola? I won't allow you to do the Shinola just out of general principle because Shinola is a silly place.
Oh, boy. Didn't we get in trouble?
And we're going to be fine. It's Detroit.
Didn't Patrick
first
get
up,
mad at us for.
Ooh, yeah, maybe. Oh, he did a review. Okay, we like Shinola. Well, we don't, but whatever.
I have Shinola, no opinion. I've never.
Yeah. I just don't like them saying they're from Detroit when it's like, it's, I don't know. It's, and so it's $1,900 for the Shinola.
That's a little I higher. Feel like around $1,000 is what I'm would be prepared to spend on a watch at this moment in time. I like the Dune. I like all the variants. There's a couple of variants I'm looking at.
Yeah.
Black Dial. Green dial, green dial. I don't love. It's like a blue dial. Oh, like the beige, or whatever. Very sandy.
I'm actually okay with the Shinola. Actually, for 1900 weighs way too much for the Shinola. That's one thing. That's the biggest problem that I'm kind of like upset about. Shinola kind of became a more luxury brand than anything else, and it kind of did that luxury thing. But this GMT is actually okay. I wouldn't throw it out of the bed for eating a Coney dog or whatever they eat in Detroit.
Yeah. Well. That's what happens.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Yeah. So I am, you know, if folks, I do want to say, you know, I said last week I'm in Arizona. Someone reached out to me on Instagram. They said hello, invited me to the Red Bar. If anyone out there in Radio Land has a GMT recommendation for doing time zone shenanigans, I'm happy to take your request because I've not really looked at GMTs before in my life because I just never had a use for them. So.
All right. Well, no, you know what? Nobody did our, we had a giveaway last week. Nobody commented
at
all on the website. Remember, the wristwatch review.
I don't think
is the
people
website.
Go to the website.
I don't think anybody
to
goes
listen
to the
pod. I think that's the issue.
We have a different audience for the website. So anyway, Dave,
I think
who
so.
Emailed me first. He's getting the watch. I might have another watch for you guys. But I need a little bit of back and forth because I mean look we're again as we discussed before this is the watch idea the watch is a natural good I just don't want to be howling into the distance as the wolves surround me.
I think we should start like a Discord or something to like you know we don't have like a million listeners obviously but I think we could get like a quorum in a Discord you know hang out joke around. Give us tips on what watches to talk about or other stages of life we want to address next week.
Line that up. Line that up. Set that up for us, and we'll do the Discord.
I guess I could do that. Yeah.
I'm not a Discord person. If you show me where to click, I'll do it. But
I'm not a huge Discord. My brother is super into Discord.
What if we did a WhatsApp group? Is that okay? Can we do that?
I think it's got to be Discord. I think for what we're trying to do, create a little community of people to talk. I think that's Discord is where that is nowadays. All right.
So there we go.
That's my read.
So Dave, want to watch. Congratulations, Dave. You know who you are. You're one of two people who emailed me. The other guy who emailed me, I'm going to try to get him something too.
Look at that.
I'm a kind and gentle soul. I love humanity and it's in all its forms.
I know that to be true.
This has been the Hour of Time podcast, a podcast about the philosophy of quality and the importance of a definition of quality associated not with the Platonic, but more with the I guess the socioeconomic / Taoist view of contentment and growth. So there you have it. And also we talked about a Boba Fett watch, which is crazy expensive. So
we did.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Hour Time Show, the official podcast of wristwatchreview.com. Feel free to email us at tips@wristwatchreview.com with your feedback and suggestions. And please be sure to visit wristwatchreview.com and wristwatchreview on Instagram for more fun watch content. Have a nice day.